Damas y caballeros, welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in those questions and suggestions for future episodes to ffnquestions@gmail.com. But again, for Freeform Radio, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Next to me today is Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing good.
And Andy.
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's all good, and we're back in at them.
Yes, sir. Got back together. It's not as hot today, so it's a little bit on the mid-temps. So it feels good, man. It feels like a good day to do some recording. So we're going to drop this episode and see how it goes. But speaking kind of a weather, Noel, you wanted to discuss this power outage that we had in the Chicagoland area. We had a really bad rainstorm, windstorm, I don't know what you want to call it, on Monday, and it took off thousands of people's powers. I mean, why don't you get us into it, Noel?
So Monday, it seemed like just any other day. It was pretty nice in the start of the day. I remember pretty well. I was checking up on my plants and stuff that I'm growing right now, and everything seemed to be good. Around 3 p.m., I was going back to work after lunch. I had my lunch from like 2 to 3, and everything was nice. Everything was good, no issues. It did say there was a chance of rain, but it didn't say it was going to be anything crazy, right? And then I get back to work, and I think like 20 minutes later, my boss comes out. He's like, everybody, there's a tornado coming. It's heading this way. It's going really fast. There's a danger for everybody in the area. You know, if you guys want to bring your cars inside, because we have a huge warehouse, he's like, bring them in right now. Because if you don't, you're going to be, you're going to be taking the brunt of the force out there. And if your car gets messed up, well, I hope you have a good insurance. And I'm just like, well, you know, if I had gotten out at 3 and went home, I would have, I had to deal with it anyway, right? So I was like, my car will be fine, dude. And it's insured, you know. It's an old car. If something happens, we'll get it replaced or whatever. I'm not going to go out there right now, you know what I mean? I'm doing shit. And anyway, long story short, dude, at like 3:50, the fucking tornado comes through, or the storm, whatever you want to call it. It turns like almost pitch black outside, dude. It was ridiculously dark. And just heavy, heavy winds. Heavy rains, and then the only thing I could think of, like, damn, dude, my plant at home is probably gonna fucking die outside. And I was really, really worried about that. And thankfully, not it survived, but the power went out pretty much for a majority of my neighborhood from my block onwards. But the block across from me, the houses across from me, would be still powered and everything. It was kind of strange, but it's not like it only happened to my neighborhood. It actually happened, I think, something about like almost a million people, dude. Like, it wasn't like 600 plus thousand people lost their power. A majority didn't get it back. Over 500,000 still didn't get it back, I think, the days after. Some people got it back that same day. Some people got it back a couple hours within, you know, the next day, Tuesday. Myself, personally, I didn't get it back until Tuesday night. And that Monday night was kind of rough because we did have a backup generator, but we didn't have it prepped and ready to go in case of emergency, which is ultimately our fault for not having it prepared. And, yeah, we learned a lot in this one, dude, because it just came out of nowhere. We had no idea it was going to happen, no preparation, and it just, yeah, it humbled me for sure.
Real quick, to add to your story, we were at work. Were you there, Danny, or no? Or did you leave early?
No, I had left a little bit early because yeah. I did hear about the storm coming and that it was supposed to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
They did have some like faint threats of high winds, but they didn't really mention tornadoes. Obviously, they mentioned tornadoes, but not a big like warning like, hey, there's going to be a tornado passing through later this afternoon.
Yeah.
So I left like around 3.
Yeah. So at our job, we were there, and then you start hearing the notifications on your phone. We actually got like a tornado warning. My fucking phone got overtaken by the weather people or whatever, and you start getting those notifications. And then, yeah, it was like windy as hell. And then my boss, he goes, well, there's a tornado warning officially. All right, let's shut it down and go home. And just like that. And I'm just like, what? It's like, yeah, you guys shipped everything out. Like, yeah, we had our normal pickup. And he's like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, what about my coworker who takes a late lunch? Oh, I'll text him. And then I'm like, okay. So then I'm telling everybody, like, hey, they're shutting it down. Let's go. And this is right in, like, the middle of it. Like, it started coming. I'm calling my coworker. He goes, hey, I got this weird text, so I shouldn't come back from lunch. He goes, nah, just go home. He goes, I can't drive. It's, like, windy and raining hard. I go, what did he tell you? He goes, the text basically said, hey, there's a tornado warning. Don't come back. Go home. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. And then that's when I see my boss. All right, man, let's see you. And he's already walking out. I'm like, hey, motherfucker, like, you got stuff to shut down here and stuff. It's like, yeah, man, it's dangerous. It's time to go home. And he just drove off into the storm. So a handful of us stayed back at the plant, waited out the storm. And then when I drove, I was driving. We left like around 4-ish. And it was pretty much, it already passed through. And I got home before 5 o'clock. So I was like, yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, I had left like around 3. Just because they had estimated that around 4 o'clock it would hit my area where I live. So I rushed home, and but now that I'm back at work, Alana's just like, are you going to take a shower? And I'm like, yeah, let me take a quick shower before the thunderstorms come in. So I took a quick shower, and right as I got off, my phone started beeping that the, you know, tornado warning for our area. So, yeah, man, right away we got into the basement and we just turned on the TV to some news so we can hear the weather. And it got pretty bad, man. I was looking out the window and my trees in the front of the house, they were swaying back and forth, something pretty, you know, sweet. You know, they were coming down, like they looked like any little more thing and they would topple over. So it got a little intense for a while, but we stood in the basement for, I don't know, 10 minutes. The storm passed, and then we came out and just went back to our normal business day.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. Kind of taking a tour of the town after everything happened, because we were kind of seeing who else had power, who didn't. And yeah, dude, it was a lot of damage. A lot of damage, trees messed up, branches down. Unfortunately, one guy got it really unlucky because his tree landed on his house versus like off to the side, and so his house had major damage to the point where you're probably going to get a lot of remodeling done once you file that insurance claim.
Yeah, I spoke to my parents after, you know, or as soon as the storm passed, you know, just to make sure everybody was all right, and they told me about the power had gone out and that my dad was going to start trying to see if they can get the generator going. And that was the last I heard for that day. And then the following day is when I heard that they couldn't get the generator going. And it did get me thinking, because I had bought a generator last year, but I haven't even taken it out of the box. Yeah. So after the storm passed, and luckily we were one of the ones that did not lose power, even though the people across the street, my wife's grandmother, had lost power. So she came over to spend the night because we had AC going because it was kind of muggy that day. And yeah, man, it got me thinking, you know, I got this generator in case of an emergency, and I don't even got it out of the box. I've never tested it. I don't know what I got to put together, you know, put oil here, put this there, you know, I'm unfamiliar with it. So after hearing about what happened to you guys, I ended up taking the generator out yesterday, and I prepped it with the oil, kind of gave it a little test run for a few minutes, and it looked like to be working. So hopefully next big emergency, you know, storm, we'll be ready for some power outage if there is any.
Yeah, one thing I want to say real quick is don't leave the gas in the tank.
Don't.
Yeah, that was the mistake that happened with us. He did not take the gas out for I don't know how many years, dude, because we haven't used this in a while. And so that gas is not only useless, it also clogs the carburetor. And that's it's not a difficult to clean, but it's time consuming, and it's stuff you don't want to have to do without power.
You didn't put no preservative, the thing or whatever?
Fuel stabilizer?
Yeah, the stabilizer or whatever.
Now, this guy was born and raised in Durango, dude. That's not going to happen over here. You know what I mean? Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I've even read that even with that stabilizer, it's not really recommended to leave fuel in there, that it's better to burn it dry. So as soon as you're done using it for whatever emergency happened, either drain out the extra gas, because there's a little valve that you can drain out any gas that's inside of it, and then just burn whatever's left in there dry to where the engine turns off on its own because it ran out of gas. That way your carburetor stays from getting gunked up, and then you won't need to put any fuel stabilizers, which I've heard fuel stabilizers sometimes eat gaskets. So, yeah, I bet there's a bunch of rules and suggestions for generator. I'm not a generator person. This is my first generator I've ever bought, so it's not like I'm preaching do this and do that, because I really don't know. But just from the stuff I looked into, yeah, they recommend just running it dry until it's all out.
Yeah, definitely, you know, try to maintain it and also check up on it at least once a year or something like that, or twice a year, and then just trying to make sure that it's ready to go. The big mistake that we made was that I wanted to take the generator out right away, but the consensus of the household was that let's wait it out. Let's see if the power comes back. And I'm like, if it gets dark, we don't want to try to figure this out in the night, in the dark. I want to figure this out now. It's like 4 or 5 p.m. Well, let's just get it done.
So real quick, Noel, why the general turnaround for power is usually like, in my experience, even when I lived out there, it was under like 4 hours. Yeah. What were you worried about if you don't get the generator, like your food going bad in the fridge, or what was like your concern with like getting it going, or you thought it was going to be longer, like you were going to be without power for days?
Well, I didn't know how long it was going to be. I know our side of the street and our side of the neighborhood tends to have power go out more often than mm-hmm. not during storms. So I was kind of worried, like, yeah, it might make the food go bad. We have 3 fridges and 1 freezer. And my, you know, damn. My family, yeah, they love to eat, dude. That's their favorite thing to do. And so we have a lot of food, and unfortunately, that's hundreds of dollars. I would have just started grilling
the tajadas right away, man.
Just my mom made us for a party.
Damn, bro, what the fuck?
On the grill outside. No, on the grill outside.
Oh, to heat them up?
Yeah, because that way it wouldn't heat up the house with the stove, you know? Because I said the same thing. I was like, oh, my God, you're making tamales in this heat wave with no AC and the power out? And she's like, I'm doing it outside. Don't you see? I'm like, oh, yeah, I felt all dumb. I'm like, that's right. Okay. I'll eat those tamales. Don't worry. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much it. And really quick to sum up UFC. Yesterday I watched it. Everybody I wanted to win lost. You know, it sucked. But the fights were good. Daniel Cormier retired. He fought for the championship. He lost. It was a trilogy, his second trilogy that he lost, unfortunately, but he tried his hardest. He's a 42-year-old man, I think 42. He fought his heart out. You know, it's going to be a shame to see him go, but I was glad to see him fight, and it was a privilege to watch him fight. Kind of like it gave me the feeling that I had growing up watching wrestling, and it was a privilege to watch, you know, all those great ones fight, you know, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, Razor Ramon, Kevin Nash, et cetera, et cetera. So that Daniel Cormier is up there with those guys, and it's going to be a shame to see him go, but, you know, he had a good career, and that's it.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of him, and he looked a little out of shape. I know typically he doesn't look like a jacked guy to begin with, but he didn't look super muscular from the pictures that I saw of his knockout or his, you know, his loss.
Yeah, he can use that weight to his advantage. The problem is, as he gets older and he loves food, it just gets harder and harder to cut down and get to really, really healthy physique, right? He had a really good physique in his early days, for sure. He was like at 205, and even at heavyweight, he was like 235 or whatever. Fought freaking looked a lot healthier, but now it's unfortunate. He's older. It is what it is.
Isn't this like his second retirement? I thought he retired before and he came out John Jones or was it with him, right? Or no?
No, so he fought Stipe. This is his third time fighting him. Fought the first time, ended up winning by knockout. Fought the second time, ended up losing by knockout or TKO. And then this trilogy one is what got him out of retirement to fight for the heavyweight title. So He went the distance. It went five rounds. He didn't get knocked out. He didn't knock out the other guy either, though. And it was a close battle. He got really bad eye poke, and his eye almost completely shut, like, I think in the third, fourth round. You know, it kind of affected his ability to fight. But yeah, man, it is what it is.
Yeah, I kind of liked his fights. I'm not a huge UFC fan, but he did put on some good fights, and it was entertaining to watch him for sure.
But yeah, man. So that's what I got going on for that week. But what about you, Daniel? I heard you went back to the office.
Yeah, finally, man. Finally called me and asked me to come back to work. So this week, Monday, was my first day back in the office. I'd been working from home since the end of March, I think it is. You know, right when this whole COVID thing kind of started launching off. So luckily, I was blessed to be able to work from home. And then just poke my head in there every now and then when there was a project coming up and needed to talk to people in person. But yeah, it was my first week back. It was actually supposed to be the week before. It was supposed to be my week back, but, you know, luck be it, I got sick over that weekend and got this stomach bug that, man, it would not go away, man. It was like terrible, man. Diarrhea all over the place. I was just like, Jesus Christ.
What'd you eat?
I don't know if it was like a flu bug or if it was like, you know, food poisoning or what. I ate something wrong, or I don't know what it was. And it was so bad that on Sunday when I had called my doctor and I'm like, hey, I got this and I got this for my symptoms. He's like, go to the ER and get tested for COVID. We want to make sure that it's not COVID so that you don't get everybody else in your house sick.
Did he ask you if you still get erections? That is one of the symptoms, if it doesn't.
I know that is one of the symptoms, but he did not inquire about that.
I think you should get a new doctor. He wasn't thorough enough.
But yeah, I went in, and I can now testify to how that COVID test is, and it is not comfortable.
Oh, they give you the nose one.
Yeah, I got the nose one. I know they're starting to roll out the saliva one.
Yeah, I was reading about that today.
Yeah, they put a Q-tip in your gums or something, mm-hmm. and they get a saliva test. But I got the nasal one, and man, they go pretty far back there. So far that my nose kind of started bleeding a little bit from how deep they go. And I looked over to the Q-tip when it was in the, you know, that little vessel they put it in for testing. And there was a little, like, drop of blood at the end. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy reached my brain when he was going in there. And I had to get a really good sample there. But, yeah, man, it was something kind of difficult just because I didn't know what I had or what was my problem. But they did all the tests. The COVID tests ended up coming negative. They did some blood work. All that stuff ended up coming back negative.
How long did you wait on the results, Danny?
I had started with my symptoms like Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, I was scheduled to come back that following Monday from the Thursday that I started feeling sick. So I just thought, you know, I ate something didn't agree with me. I'll shake it off by the weekend and I'll be able to get back to work on Monday. But come Sunday, when I still had the symptoms, I started feeling more like shit. I started feeling really like tired and lightheaded. And I didn't know if it was just because of the stomach issue or whatnot. So when I called my doctor, he's just like, go get a COVID test and let's find out what's going on. And once it came back negative, my doctor's just like, yeah, just walk it off. You'll be all right.
When they took the test, how long did it take for them to get the results? Like 2 days, a week?
No, since I went to the emergency room, it's 24 hours. I know people have mentioned that when they go to those drive-through ones, it could take up to a week or longer to get results. Yeah. But since I went to the emergency room, and trust me, I paid for it. You know, I had to pay my emergency room deductible and all that good stuff.
You can't put a price on your health, Danny, I've been told.
Right. So, I mean, that's why I went. Otherwise, I'm kind of like the doctor. I like to walk a lot of stuff off. I wasn't really too concerned about it. I didn't start thinking that it was COVID until I started feeling really faint and kind of, you know, tired. I just wanted to lay on the couch and just kind of like take a nap all day kind of thing. And then that's when I started getting a little concerned, like, damn, what the hell is this? And so, yeah, I still felt kind of like shit even after It took me a few days to get back on my feet, and now I'm feeling a lot better. But yeah, I guess long story for getting back to work, went back to the office, and it was different, man. You know, being isolated for so long, you know, it was different to get back in the office.
Can I ask you a question then? Going back to when he told you to get the test, where you said you weren't concerned, but did you think you're going to have to, did you quarantine yourself from your family, or were you just like, it's just a precaution? Like what was your mindset? Like, I'm going to go to the basement with the dog and just stay down here or some shit?
No. Yeah. Since Friday I had been sleeping in the basement, or not in the basement, but the family room. We have a 3-floor house. Mm-hmm. So the bedrooms are on the second floor. So I was on, I guess the basement. And I slept there on the couch since Friday. So I had somewhat quarantined myself just because I didn't want to give them the stomach bug or whatever the hell I had. Right. Not really thinking COVID, but either way, whatever I did have, I didn't want to give it to them. So I was kind of self-isolating myself. But I didn't really want to think the worst case scenario, because I know if I started thinking about it, I would work myself into it and be like, yeah, I got COVID, you know, I'm going to die kind of thing. Let me start writing my will here. So I was trying not to think the most negative, but I did also want to be somewhat precautious with the family and make sure that they didn't get sick. But yeah, man, as far as the work, it's different, man. It's different. I've been wearing my mask almost the whole time that I'm there. The only time I take it off is to eat, but otherwise I have my mask on, even if I'm at my desk. If I'm in the bathroom by myself, the office bathroom, it's only a toilet and a urinal and then the sink. So if I'm in there by myself, then I take off my mask. But if somebody walks in and is using it, then I keep my mask on. And I try not to take it off too much, because they say when you touch it so many times, you could just dirty up your mask and you're just putting that shit on your face anyways. So I try not to touch my face mask a lot. I just leave it on the whole day and I just, you know, take it off to eat my lunch. But I was surprised how many people are kind of lax on it. Now, granted, there are some people that don't really believe this COVID thing is that big of an emergency, that, you know, if you do get it, you're just going to kind of walk it off kind of thing, which might be correct. But I guess I want to, if all I have to do is wear a mask to kind of improve my chances of not getting it, then I think it's something that I can bear with to get through this situation.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's nobody's going to. I guess if you want to wear the mask, yeah, it's cool. I mean, do what you got to do, you know, whatever your thoughts are. And yes, there's some people at work that don't, and some people take offense to it, and some people do, but I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I don't get all mask Nazi on people, but every once in a while when I go out and about, I see people without masks. I'm just thinking, like, I wonder if they have a condition or they're just like, fuck it, I'm not wearing it, you know? That's my only I want to ask them, can I ask you a question? Why ain't you wearing your mask? I don't really care. I just want to know what your train of thought is on it, you know? Just to spark up a conversation. But I have a feeling, like, in general, they're going to be aggressive or just be like, why the fuck do you care? Because 9 out of 10 times, they probably hear shit from people, you know?
Right, I agree. I think for the most part, some people might get upset. And I'm kind of the same way. I respect other people's thoughts and feelings in their households, or when they're in their own domicile area, in their yards and shit. But as soon as you go out to a public area, an office space like that, where you're enclosed, you know, if the company policy is to wear a mask, I kind of expect everybody to be wearing a mask. You know, I know it sucks. I don't care for it too much myself, especially those couple hot days in the office. You know, we do got AC, but it's not the greatest. So sometimes it does get a little muggy in there, even with the AC running.
Dude,
I was sweating a little bit.
I worked with the mask when my other guy wasn't available to come into work outside on the hot days. It fucking sucks, because you're sweating. and then you got your mouth and nose covered because, you know, that's the proper way to wear the mask. It fucking sucks because your mask starts getting all fucking wet and shit, and then you're breathing harder, and then you can feel the, like, your breath go up, you know, from the mask and all. It's just, it fucking sucks, especially when it's hot, you know. That's like the worst part of it. And generally, you're in the office, yeah, it's cool, but once you start, like, moving around and working where there's no AC, that's when the mask really, I think, becomes uncomfortable, really bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Gonna do what I gotta do and just wear a mask for now, but I'm hoping more people would adhere to it, just because every 10 steps that you take in the company, there's a sign that says wear your masks, but for some reason some people just choose to ignore it. I guess the company doesn't want to get too strict and start, you know, dragging people out of the office and be like, if you're not going to wear a mask, you gotta get the hell out of here kind of thing. But I would just think, if the company tells you got to wear safety shoes when you're out in the plant, you're not going to ignore it and just be like, I don't give a shit, I'm not going to wear safety shoes, nothing's going to happen to me, and just start walking around. You're going to get written up and you're going to get into some kind of trouble. But it seems to be more lax for something like this, like a mask. But I'm not really sure what the proper procedure should be.
It's yeah, it's interesting. There's some difficulty how it's going to be enforced. So, yeah, I mean, what it comes down to is hopefully just everyone makes the right choice right now. But a lot of it, I think, is people, there's fatigue with the virus. So people are just to a point where they do this shit every day, and it's just like they're tired of it. They just want shit to go back to normal. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think it's ever going to be normal again. So, but I mean, to each its own. Everybody has to make individual decisions, and it is what it is.
Right, right. And then the last thing I want to talk about is I'm kind of flirting with the idea to subscribe to that CBS All Access, mm-hmm. just because I want to watch that Star Trek Lower Decks. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for it.
They have the first episode out for free on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's like a 10 or 12 episode season or something like that.
Right.
They're, I think, releasing like 2 episodes at a week on CBS All Access. So I'm kind of maybe thinking, wait until the season's over or pretty close to being over, and then subscribe. Maybe get that first month free kind of thing, and then maybe stay on if I'm enjoying it. But I watched the trailer, and it looks kind of funny, man. It actually looks pretty good.
I read on early on, people were shitting on it because there was early critiques that like kind of leaked. And then they were trying to sell it, and then it's only available in North America and Canada right now. And for whatever reason, I think there's 2 episodes out, because I already seen people on some of the YouTube channels I follow have the review of episode 2 already. So, and then I saw people posting that it's they uploaded the first episode, CBS All Access uploaded the first episode on YouTube for free. And I watched 10 minutes of it then, and I was just like, eh. It's like I'm not saying it's not funny, I was just not impressed by it. And I don't know, maybe down the road it'll get better, but for the first 10 minutes of it, I was like, my wife started asking me stuff, I just turned it off, because I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. It wasn't good to me.
Was it not good? Because I know it's right after Next Generation, or that's like the timeline of it. Was that why you weren't feeling it? Or
no, it was just the characters. They weren't intriguing enough. I know it's supposed to be comedic and they have some jokes, but it wasn't like, it just wasn't funny. I mean, I don't care. I know they're not going to focus first on like the captain and the lieutenant. It's all going to be like engineers and like lower decks people, like people who are up and coming, or
yeah, the guy cleaning the plasma injectors.
Yeah, like working on, the first episode they were working on replicators, and like frozen bananas was coming out, and then like this one chick that likes to drink, and she's always drinking, and like, it was just like, eh, like I wasn't intrigued. Like I said, it wasn't funny.
Isn't Seth MacFarlane a part of this, or
I think he pitched an idea for a funny Star Trek show, or I don't know if it was animated. I think even animated, if I remember correctly. I know he pitched a couple ideas to be funny. That's how the Orville came about, because he pitched it to Star Trek, and I'm imagining he probably pitched an animated show, and I think they kind of went with it, and they made this, and it's just, you got to see it. Like I said, the first episode's on YouTube. Let us know what you think next week or the next episode, and then, or whatever, our, you know, people out there listening, let us know what you think. I'm not trying to be negative, but it is just, to me, maybe Don, if I could binge watch it, maybe it'd be a little better. But I said the first episode, I was just like, eh, like I could watch it some other time.
Yeah, I might have to take a look at the first episode and check it out and see what it's like. And then maybe come back and let you guys know what I thought about the first episode. But yeah, I might have to wait a few more episodes to be out before I strongly consider getting that CBS All Access.
Nah, I wouldn't. I mean, unless, did you see all the Picards and like Discovery? And I know they made another Star Trek show, and there are people already shitting on the other Star Trek show, the new one with Pike, I think. And it's because there was leaks that came out of it, and it's not good. And I know CBS All Access is really pushing the Star Trek people, but the shows haven't been that great. I mean, Discovery was like, and I haven't watched Picard at all, so I don't know.
I like Discovery, or at least season one of Discovery was very well done. Picard was okay. It wasn't nothing great. And I watched like the first episode of season two of Discovery, but I didn't get past that. That's when my CBS All Access had expired, so... Yeah, I would be curious to see the rest of the Discovery, but we'll have to see what happens if I get into it.
I think right now they're buying, if you subscribe now, CBS, I think they're giving you, I get emails, because I had it for free for like a month, and I was just like, eh, and I think they're telling me to come back. They're giving me 2 months or something. I forgot. They got some deal right now, because you're really pushing the lower decks. They want people to subscribe. I don't know what the deal is. I think it's get 2 months for price of one or some shit, like something like that. I don't know.
Right, right. But speaking of your stuff, Andy, how was your little mini vacation extended weekend?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We can only binge so much, man. We finally got away. We were planning on doing the trip right before the 4th of July, but we kind of held off because we were worried there's going to be a lot of people going up there around that time. So we postponed it, and we got some friends to come with us. And we went during the week, a couple weeks ago, up to the dunes in Warren Dunes, which you've been up there, Dan. It's nice. And it was pretty sweet. The only thing is now they charge you to get into the park, which they didn't in the past. But the reason they charge you now, because they got better amenities. They build up, they got a gift shop, and they got better bathrooms and facilities. It was pretty sweet. Yeah, I mean, it was actually really nice. And we went up there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The first day, they were really recommending people not go into the water because there was a really strong wind current. And so that was the only thing that sucked. But other than that, we had a good time. Everybody, my friend and his wife brought their kids and a niece, and we had a good time, and it wasn't packed. But I did notice when we were pulling up, there was a lot of people that had a lot of people from Illinois up there, and a lot of people from Ohio, which I found interesting. So, and the dunes, that big, huge dunes that they got, there was people walking up there in the heat, and I was kind of shocked, and they were running down. But overall, it was a pretty great experience. I highly recommend going there if you haven't been. I mean, both the Indiana Dunes, that one's nice too, but the Warren Dunes, it's nicer, it's bigger, more spread out, a lot of room. Just the weather, the waves, it was just windy the first couple of days. But other than that, I mean, it was sweet. It's a really nice area. We like going up there at least once a year.
How long of a drive is it from
where you live? It's not that long. It's about an hour and a half. And then the only problem, not a problem, but when we were up there, the only issue is, so we brought, you know, stuff for breakfast and lunch, and then dinner was, everybody was like, oh, yeah. Then I had no concerns. We found a couple. So we found this one restaurant that we really wanted to go, but when we got there, it was like a 2-hour wait. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is like on a Monday night, you know? And we found another restaurant. There was 7 of us. The only problem is they didn't let us sit together. They only let us put 4 on one table and 3 on another. And they had, it was, everything was social distance. You know, everything was spread apart. So it wasn't too bad. That was the only thing. And then,
what do you do if you got a family of 5, man? You got like wife and husband and then 3 little small kids. What do you separate them?
So that's why when we arrived, we called ahead. They're like, yeah, it's not a problem. And we saw a family in the corner, and it was like 6 of them. And I'm like, oh, okay, it shouldn't be a problem. And we got there like, oh, we can't sit you guys together. It's just too many people. We have to have 4 per table. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, and I mean, they sat us like back to back, but, you know, they had them 6 feet apart. So my wife's friend was with the kids, and it was just me, my wife, and my friend. And it was just like, not that it was awkward. I felt like his wife was missing out on adult conversation. But, you know, it wasn't too bad. That was my only thing, like, ah, this kind of sucks. And then we went, the next night, we went to another restaurant. And there, they let us sit together. But that wasn't an outdoor, it wasn't outdoorish, but they had all the windows open. It was weird. It was just like almost like a cabin or something. I don't know how else to explain it.
Wow. Okay. But yeah, I kind of figure there's a bunch of rules at restaurants now, which I'm not sure what those rules are. I haven't really gone out for dining.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we barely go out. If we go out, we usually do takeout, or we have the contactless delivery. So that's probably since this whole shit started. Where we went out back to back to restaurants, long fucking time. So, but we felt pretty secure. I mean, there was a lot of space. You know, so the waiters had gloves and masks on, so it wasn't too bad. And then, but that was it. And then the other thing, when I was there, I was debating the whole time. My wife's like, "We're gonna go to the casino," and I'm like, "I don't know." And that. So that Tuesday, we went to the beach. In the morning, I was reading how some St. Louis baseball players got infected when they were playing the Brewers. And I'm like, man, more baseball players got infected, blah, blah, blah. And then later it came out that very morning before we headed out to the beach, I was reading the article, another update, that they got infected by going to the casino. They went to the Potawatomi, I believe, up in Milwaukee. And they infected themselves and some other players and all this other shit. And I was like, fuck. So that's how I was like, this put this red flag in my head about the casino. I'm like, ugh. And then, so I didn't really think about it. So we were at the beach again all fucking day. And then they were asking, are you guys going to go to the casino? I'm like, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. You know, I was reading this morning that the baseball players who got infected up in Milwaukee, the reason they got infected is they went to the casino and they're like jaws dropped. Like, you serious? Like, yeah, that's the only time where I get like, I've talked about it in the past where like, if it's enclosed and there's a lot of people, I kind of like, that's when my spidey sense starts tingling because I'm like, I don't know. And then we hanged out, you know, we were at the beach, we went to have dinner, and then we got home and I told my wife, let's just go ready, let's drive around to see if the casino, let me feel it out. And this is already, again, like Tuesday night, it's like 9:30. I'm like, how packed can it be, right? On a fucking weekday. And we go, and it's an Indian casino. And we drive up there, the hotel's like 10 minutes away. So we drive up there, and I'm like, oh, man, there's a lot of cars leaving. Like, it was kind of weird. I mean, like, maybe a shift just ended or something, right? And then we're pulling up. Holy shit, man. The parking lot was packed. I could not fucking believe it. And my wife's like, well, what are you thinking? I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just too many fucking people. And while I'm driving through the parking lot, I already see people getting unloaded walking in. I see an old lady getting in her wheelchair, getting ready to push into the casino. So I was just like, oh man, like, this is not good. So yeah, I didn't end up going, man, because I was just like, this just, there's too many people here, man. There's too many cars. So yeah, we didn't end up going. It kind of like freaked me out how many people were there gambling. I'm like, in for what? Like, I was just like, I was already hesitant. And then we drove by and I saw them cars. I'm like, ah, this is not going to work even for me.
Yeah, I don't know about a casino. To me, that would be really pushing it. I could see maybe going to an outside restaurant. Maybe you could convince me to do that. But to go into an indoors, enclosed, you know, hundreds of people walking around, touching machines. Nah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it was like, I wanted to see how they had it set up. I read on the website that they close like every other machine and they wipe them down and all this other shit. And I'm just like, but when I saw the amount of people there, I'm like, hell no, man. Like, this is, that's where I still get freaked out. I get freaked out when people are waiting in line to get into stores. And I'm just like, who the fuck's going to wait in line? Like, to me, that freaks me out. Like, fuck it. There's a bunch of other stores. And like, I rarely go to Walmart. I think I went to Walmart like 2 weeks ago. And there was a guy at the, we went like late, like 8 o'clock. There was a kid at the front door just counting how many people are walking in. And I saw the number he had on his on the tablet. It was like 740. I'm like, man, that's a lot of fucking people. Well, how much can this fucking place hold? Because I don't know what the rule is, what capacity or what is it. I don't even know if it's 50% or, I mean, do you know what the rule is, man?
No, I know that when the shit was really high, the rate, they were limiting capacity, and they actually did have lines outside of Walmart, and they would only allow like 50 people in the store at one time or something. I forgot how many. So I know that was somewhat strictly enforced just because I would pass by Walmart and I would see lines outside, but I don't think they're doing that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's when I'm just like, to me, this shit don't make sense. But I saw that. And then I generally don't like going into Walmart. I don't even remember why we went. I think we went looking for something specific. I don't even recall. I just know we didn't buy shit. Oh, we might have bought something. I don't remember. I think it was ice cream or something. But yeah, and then and I get more. The other thing that's starting to weird me out is when I go grocery shopping, I see people picking up and putting shit back, especially like fruit and vegetables. I'm like, just fucking take it. Like, let's see what the fuck's going on. And that's why I'm kind of glad we got our own garden with tomatoes and like cucumbers and zucchinis and squash and shit, because that's stuff that we kind of buy. Because I see a lot of people just picking up shit and putting it back, and that kind of like, that's why I'm just like, ugh.
I felt that way for a long time, way before COVID, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it, like, recently, that's like my new thing. I see like people pick it up and then they look at it and put it back. I'm like, but you know what the fucking age we're living in? Like, you pick it, it's yours, man. Don't put it back. And so that's my only thing where I get kind of like, I get like, not anxiety, but I'm just like, what the fuck, man? Like, can't be doing that in today's time, man. Like, you gotta, you make a decision, you stick to it, you take it, or you fucking tell them like, I don't want it, and they throw it out or something.
You know what I always wonder? Like, if there's a way to combat that so that we don't allow that to happen. Like, what if you had, for example, somebody handling the fruit department to handle it like a butcher would? They're like, all right, take a ticket. What do you want? Give me 2 mangoes, 2 fucking cucumbers, 2 pineapples, blah, 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 right? And they'd show you like, hey, is this the one you want? And they're all wearing gloves, you know, obviously. And you show them, yeah, that's the one I want. That's the one I want. Boom, good. And then everybody gets it and moves on. And now this guy's wearing gloves. You don't have to worry about any issues, you know?
Yeah, I think people like to touch vegetables and fruits for whatever reason and kind of like get a feel to see if they're interested in it by the texture, by the squeeze, the feel. To me, I kind of do the same thing. You know, I'll grab cucumber, and if I feel it kind of squishy, then I'm not buying it. So I put it back. Same thing with fruit. If I grab a peach and I feel it kind of soft to the touch, then I'm like, this thing's about to go bad, so I'm not buying these. So I kind of do the same thing, but you know, my wife washes off all the fruits and vegetables before we even eat them.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's yeah, I get that when you buy it and stuff, you take it back, you know, take it home, and I don't even want to say disinfect it, like, it's, but I haven't really seen no studies on after people touch it, how long does that shit stay on fruits, vegetables. I haven't read any of that, any info on that. I know it's, I'm probably overreacting. I read studies on how people get it. Just to me, it's just like, because it's hands. Everything I read is like, everything's with your hands, how people get it, you touch your face and all this. That's why they always tell you to wash your hands. And to me, that's just like, hands is like something where, like, if you, I don't know if you washed your hands or using disinfectant. So that's why I'm just like, oh man, like, that's where I'm just like, that's a trigger in my head. Like, yeah, don't fucking grab this shit, you know?
But what about salmonella? If they have these recalls and product hits the shelves and they're on the shelves for a few days, why do they do recalls for salmonella? You would think if somebody had salmonella or whatever, that it would dissipate the way you're explaining, the same way COVID in your mind would dissipate off of the fruit if somebody did have it.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't know. I haven't read anything on it. Whatever, I just know what I read. And to me, that's what I'm saying. Like, I haven't really read enough. I read some stuff that if you let it sit for like 2 days or something, it might go away. But fruit is something different to me. It's like, it's a living, in my mind anyway, it's like living organism. It's nature. So nature is different from wood, from fucking metal, you know, shit like that.
You know, not to get off a subject, Andy, but I started thinking about this the other day, which I think I'm kind of crazy, but what if that's the next thing that people are going to be in an uproar, that in like 15 years, they're going to be like, we need to abolish all these slave owners that own slaves. What if in like 15 years, they're going to be like, we need to abolish all these people that ate fruits because fruits are living beings. And then now it's going to be like the new taboo.
And Western civilizations, fucking man, who knows, man, we're still evolving, but Western civilization has this, they like to think or pander to like everybody's a victim. So who fucking knows, man? You know, if you could really go down a rabbit hole if you start looking into stuff. Like, I know we've talked about it on past episodes about, you know, I don't know what has different views on living things and what I think and shit like that, which is, yeah, I'm not saying they're not living, but it's just a different point of view, and who knows the way, you know, Western civilization is going. Who knows what that might be, a train of thought down the road.
Yeah, because Noel, didn't you say that trees actually cry when they cut them down, or there's like studies that show that?
So there's ways for them to communicate, sending I think chemical signals and like pheromones and shit like that. So I think that they use the giraffe. Like, a study was done where they saw that giraffes were eating these trees and the leaves within the trees, and the trees would send signals to other trees in the area like, hey, we're getting eaten right now. This shit sucks. Get ready. Send your defenses. Make your leaves taste like shit. Whatever you got to do, right? They'll send signals out to these trees so that the trees start upping their defenses, whatever that might be for that particular tree. Maybe it starts, you know, sending out some odor or some strong pungent taste so that the leaves don't taste good and the giraffe might not want it, you know, things like that. A lot of plants do it. They have natural defenses, but they do communicate in different ways that humans wouldn't be able to even begin to comprehend. So we're barely learning like a lot of these things. And I think plants actually, when you cut them down, when you're tearing them apart and all that, I think they do emit some kind of frequency we can't hear, which right. Could be some kind of way of like crying out.
Right, man, that'd be weird.
Yeah, so that's a great subject maybe for an article down the road, but
yeah, for sure.
We gotta jump to our article of the week. So our to me, I picked this article because of, you know, what's going on right now in America and, you know, the whitewash, you know, brown face, whatever, with the racial tensions in this country. So we picked the article. It came out on the LA Times. Shia LaBeouf recently plays, he's in a new gangster flick called The Tax Collector. And they're claiming that director denies that he put Shia LaBeouf in brown face as controversies linger. I mean, I don't know if you guys, you read the article, but did you see the trailer at all?
You know, I have not seen that yet.
So it's basically, it's a Chicano, you know, gang cholo shit down in Southern California. And Shia LaBeouf's like his muscle. And he's all like fucking speaking Chicano, you know, whatever you want to call it, slang, essay, fool. And people are saying, like, why is he playing a Mexican-American character? Or he Mexican? They got he's playing Mexican in the article. They got a Mexican in quotes. So, you know, and then the director had to come out and say he's not playing a Mexican-American. He's playing an Anglo that grew up in that culture. That's the big controversy, and they're calling it. But other people are bitching that it's brown face. So it's a pretty interesting take to me. I saw the trailer. I mean, I don't know enough of the movie. I know right now it's the number one stream movie in the country, but I haven't seen it, so I can't give it. But just reading the article, I think they're exaggerating a little, or not exaggerating, but it's a point of view of, like, always, like, let's blame, we're being taken advantage of, blah, blah, blah. See, here's a quote. He's a white guy playing a white guy. He's not taking anyone's work away, said the director. He's like, I mean, what you guys just thought, is this ain't like some black face? They're calling it brown face. I mean, your thoughts when people of who ain't Hispanic or whatever race, they're another race. Is that a big flag for you, unless it's like insulting?
I think when you said that he's supposed to be playing an Anglo-American that grew up in that culture, that kind of nullified any kind of offensive part of it, because that's part of the story. I mean, if you don't like the story, don't watch the movie, you know? But if you want to watch a movie about a story like that, you know, be prepared that it's going to be a white guy around a neighborhood with a lot of, you know, urban expressions. I don't even know how you want to describe it. Like,
here's the quote. The movie's called The Tax Collector. In it, LaBeouf looks, in quotes, Mexican, at least by the stereotypical standards. He wears a goatee.
What the hell does a Mexican look like?
I know, exactly, right? He wears a goatee and sounds like a Latino guy from the hood. At one point, he says, "Come on, fool." They got to hear certified barrio slang for fool. LaBeouf, man, and sometimes troublemaking Hollywood star, blah, blah, blah.
Man, Andy, this is taking on a persona of an LA cholo. At its worst, man.
So I started thinking back, like this isn't new. Like, I think if you really look at this article by the guy, if he's a white guy who grew up in the culture, obviously you're going to join into that to survive or whatever, you know. You adapt your surroundings. I think if they really want to be upset, then you got to look at something like Scarface. You got Al Pacino, who's white, Italian, plays a Hispanic guy. Like, that is more, if you really want to look at it, at what they're pushing here, that's where you should be like, what the fuck is this? You know, that's... You couldn't get a fucking Hispanic guy to play that character, even though Al Pacino did a great fucking job. I mean, that's where we're coming at from. They're trying to make this movie into that, which really has no bearing, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not too sensitive about stuff like that, but it can be offensive when they word it in ways like that, the way you were reading that article. When they word it like the way they worded it, it can come off as offensive, so I can see where you're coming from, but the fact that Shia LaBeouf is, as an actor, playing a character, and me knowing how a movie is made, and that this is fake, this is not, You know what I mean? It's not as offensive. It'd be different if he was trying to play like an authentic Hispanic American, right? But he's just playing a white guy who grew up around Hispanics and who talks like them because that's how he grew up. There's plenty of people in real life that do that already, and that's not offensive to me. I've spoken to people like that. You know, they grew up around Hispanics. They actually know a little Spanish themselves. Props to them. You know, that's, I don't see it as a appropriation, cultural appropriation. I don't even think that's a thing. When you're in America, you're allowed to have the freedom to pick up whatever culture you wish to pick up on. There's nobody that owns any culture. If you're singing a song, that's for anybody to sing. You don't have to be black to sing this song or white to sing that song. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The reason I brought the article, you know, with the racial tensions that are going on today, but popular culture in American cinema and American television, this has been going on for a long fucking time. I know people are trying to somewhat change it now. I mean, but you could get really, if you really look into it, you could get like obsessed, but it's just it's a product of the times. And when you look at like NYPD Blue, I mean, I love that show in the 90s. They had an Italian guy playing a Puerto Rican. I mean, I didn't know. To me, he played it like, he's just another Puerto Rican guy. When I found out he was Italian, I was kind of shocked. And again, that was like, I was a teenager back then. And then you look at it, you know, I think we kind of talked about it. Then Blood In, Blood Out, that character Miklo. I don't even know if has any Hispanic.
He's half and half.
In the movie, he's half and half, but I don't know.
In real life.
In real life, too.
It's the same thing, yeah.
The Double Dragon guy's half Mexican? I didn't know that.
Damian Chiapas is his last name. Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chiapas is not, you know, an Anglo name, for sure.
And then in American Me, you know, you see that character that grew up with Mero or whatever. He was white, but he grew up in that, and you know, that culture in that neighborhood. So he adopted that, but there's no outcry from that. And it's played by an American actor, you know. And he's done a lot of movie, gangster movies and all that. Played Italians and played cops. He's done it all across the board. So,
I don't know why people are bent out of shape, man. This stuff is ridiculous, man. They want to be inclusive to everybody. Well, then quit pointing out the segregation and quit pointing out this idiocy, man. It's like, they're actors. Actors play different people. They're not playing themselves. They're playing a role that was given to them by the director or the casting agent, and they're playing this character. They're somebody else. They're not themselves. There's tons of it. While I was looking into this thing, I found a website that had tons of actors that play other ethnic characters. Like Johnny Depp played Tonto in the Long Ranger movie, and that's just recently, like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You got Elizabeth Taylor playing an Egyptian in Cleopatra. You got Mick Rooney playing Mr. Yoshi in Breakfast at Tiffany's. I mean, you got tons of, I mean, just flipping through this thing, you got tons of people. Lou Diamond Phillips, he played a Mexican in La Bamba, and he's Filipino. He's not even Mexican.
What? Man, he just broke my heart, Danny. That motherfucker has no Hispanic or Latin blood in him.
Well, Filipinos are very closely related to the Latin culture, so it's possible that a far distant relative is a Spaniard or something to that line, because a lot of Filipinos do speak Spanish.
That's because Spain conquered them, or they're a colony of Spain.
But Jamie Lee Singer, she plays an Italian in Sopranos, but she's not even Italian. She's Greek.
That's close enough, though.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is that when you get rolled for a cast for a role, you're playing in the movie. You're being another character. Spider-Man, this kid, Spider-Man, he's British, but he's playing a New York kid that grew American. Up in the Bronx. Yeah, he's playing an American. It's not a big deal, man. It's just movies. Who gives a shit, man? People that get upset over this, too much time on their hands. You need to get a job and get busy doing something, man. Quit complaining about shit like this. This is aggravating.
And when it comes down to it, it's like you have the ultimate choice of whether you go and watch this or not. You know, right. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. I was watching the stand-up recently, and the guy was saying, he's like, when you come out to see me in a special, if you don't like a joke, he's like, well, you don't like that joke, but maybe everyone else does, you know, or maybe everyone else does like the joke. So if you don't like it, you don't have to see it. You don't have to come out. You can close your ears, you can close your eyes, you can get the fuck out. You don't have to be there. Same thing with food. If you go to a restaurant and you don't like something that's on the menu, you're not going to throw an uproar and say, you got to take this fucking shit off the menu. I don't like it. Maybe everyone else does. Maybe everyone else wants that double cheeseburger. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat that shit.
Yeah, Trader Joe's just dealt with this because they had like Trader Joe specific items that are called Trader Joe mac and cheese. Well, they had some Latino flavored stuff and they didn't call it Trader Joe's. They call it Trader Jose's. And they had another ethnic, I forget what the other one. There was a third group and they called it, you know, something relatable to their nationality. And right away, people started bitching. You got to pull this shit off the shelf. You got to pull this shelf. Well, the cultures that were being named by that, like the Latino culture, they came out and defended it and said, we don't have a problem with Trader Joe's calling it Trader Jose's. He's like, if anything, it's a compliment because Jose is a part of our culture. It's a name in our culture. So they're giving us respect, saying that this burrito should be called Trader Jose's burritos because it's part of our culture. It's just like, who cares?
Again, yeah, Dan, like you're saying, I love reading comments and stuff like this. And when I was watching the trailer, I was reading the comments and people were like, Shia LaBeouf, like he's a great actor. Like I live in Southern California. I'm not offended by this. And there's other people posting. I think the only people who are offended by this are people who are not Latino, but I think it's just white people who love the cancel culture of just fucking saying like, this is fucked up. We gotta do something about it. When the rest of like 90% of the other people are like, what? What's going on? Like what? This is racist. Like, oh, you don't know what racist is? Like. They want to victimize everybody. Like, yeah, there's times where people are victims, but when I saw the trailer, it's just, like, I might check it. I look cool. Visually, it looked cool, but I was reading, I didn't read it. I saw the Metacritic and all that. It's they shit on the movie. They say it's not even that good. But again, I think the controversy helped it become the number one stream movie of the week. People are buying it or renting it, whatever, streaming. So I think the controversy helped it.
Oh. Yeah, let's see, man. Hopefully it doesn't turn to be more of a common thing, you know, to see that movies that are being made being, you know, looked at in that way, always trying to find some little thing to complain about, because it's getting tiring, dude. It really is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you guys see it, let us know. I want to see the movie, even though people say it's bad, the reviews. I mean, I want to check it out. I might try to check it out in the next month.
Well, anyway, guys, that's all we got for today. We hope you're having a good night, and thank you for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, you better follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We are on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And if you have any questions or suggestions or, you know, anything you think we should be talking about, anything that might be in the news or that, you know, maybe means something personal to you, send us an email. You know, the email is ffmquestions@gmail.com. Again, this is Freeform Radio. My name is Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. A little bit of advice. When you borrow something, put it back where you got it from. So then that way that person doesn't get upset that you took it and put it somewhere else.
All right. And Andy.
Man, that's great life advice, Danny. Thank you for saying that. And it's all good, guys. I want to check you out. Check us out next week. And real quick, rest in peace, Kamala. Another wrestling legend died this past week. And check out some of his videos. He did some crazy shit back in the day.
Yep. Rest in peace, man. And for everyone, we wish you a great night and a beautiful tomorrow.
dad.